Today we join with all other Americans in the anticipation of the celebration of our 209th anniversary as a free nation. Yet we are concerned because 46 of our fellow citizens are being held in bondage in Lebanon. The threat of terrorism stalks our world. Only when freedom is lost or threatened do we pause to recognize what a glorious blessing it is. And with the world afire today, it behooves all of us as free Americans to give ear to the Apostle Paul when he admonished to the Galatians, "Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Abraham Lincoln, in one of his addresses over 100 years ago, asked the question, what constitutes the bulwark of our own liberty and independence? And he answered this way, "It is not our frowning battlements, our bristling seacoast, our army and our navy. Our reliance is in the love of liberty which God has planted in us. Our defense is in the spirit which prizes liberty as the heritage of all persons in all lands everywhere. Destroy this spirit, and we have planted the seed of despotism at our own doors." Ever since our founding fathers proclaimed and struggled for the cause of freedom, great-souled citizens of honest endeavor have watched the ramparts. We have tried to protect the glorious legacy that we have received. And as free Christians, we cannot afford to become an empty house of indifference to the bulwarks of human freedom. Lest in a tyrannical way they be destroyed. Tyranny, totalitarianism, and autocracy are always welcome, always willing to destroy that which the free mind of men would want to preserve. And also, there is a type of atrophy that sets in within a democracy that sometimes becomes almost as bad as the subjugation which such atrophy allows to happen. We as a nation are no greater than the spirit of the free people who inhabit this nation. And flying preeminently above us should not only be the stars and stripes, but also should be the call to the brotherhood of all persons under the fatherhood of God. We seem to be in an encounter in our world today where the spirit of freedom is being tested, and where we come to recognize that a moral society is often pitted against an immoral one. And we need be very careful that the morality which has always protected our domain does not become immorality. The rights and the gifts that we expect as individuals can never be withheld from other members of society, because no group of persons have a corner on freedom and democracy. To understand our world in such a way is to be deluded. Because if some persons are in shackles and enslaved, none of us are truly free. The love of the Lord, which the writer of Scripture describes as the beginning of wisdom, compels us as Christians living in a free land to rightly divide the word truth. And the words of truth that were so eloquently expressed by our founding fathers in the documents of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States, with the Bill of Rights as the keynote, became a bulwark of American enterprise, both physical and moral. And a close reading of history leads us to understand that our political and sociological mores had their beginnings in the historical struggle against tyranny that was a part of the old country from which our forefathers emigrated to these shores. And one of the documents that seemed to be the underlying purpose of all that was to be America was the Magna Carta. And its habeas corpus implications give birth to the declaration that all persons have certain inalienable rights. They have been created in equal opportunity by the Lord Himself. And so we need to look at some of the bulwarks of our freedom very briefly. Because a vital America, abounding in purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain, need persons to match the mountain. Let me enumerate four. They may not be the complete story of our freedom, but I think they are guidelines on which we can begin to understand who we are. The first bulwark that we need to solemnly guard in our freedom is the recognition that all persons in our heterogeneous land have been endowed by our Creator with equal creation. Isaiah admonished that the Lord is the repairer of the breach between all peoples. There is no east, there is no west, there is no simple respecting of persons of different faiths, our creeds, our outward appearances. There is a complete acceptance of all that are created by God. His image has been breathed into the soul of all. And Americans may show outward colors of white and black and yellow and brown and red. But this need not prevent the creative opportunities of those persons from being red, white, and blue. Racial and religious prejudices are not only immoral and unconstitutional, they can be suicidal to the very freedom which we enjoy. The right of all citizens to the fruit of the Bill of Rights is not restricted by skin color. And when rights are destroyed for anyone, in order that special privilege may rush in, then the nation is on the verge of disaster. Special privilege is always the enemy of human liberty. And hence a person's color on the outside should not militate against the heartbeat of equal opportunity for all. America's genius is the fact that it has become a melting pot for the world. And we produce a great aroma of heterogeneic solidarity in which every person is accepted for what he is and who he is. And let us labor to keep it that way. Scripture writer said, "How good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity." But more than that, freedom depends upon it. But wherever some do not have total privilege, others will have special privilege. Another bulwark that's worthy of our democratic defense concerns the right of all of our citizens to religious and intellectual liberty. We talk very glibly about freedom of worship. I'm not sure we fully comprehend how meaningful that is. We are a nation that have been trying a great experiment for over 200 years. Most nations of our world have either come under the influence of a state church, or they have come under the influence of predominating religious systems. Needless to say, some of the problems that face us in Lebanon today are because of religious fanaticism of a type of the Muslim faith. It is where religion becomes a part of the state and dominates and terrorizes because it is in control. In America, every person may worship God as he or she pleases. One may even turn away from God. For in a democracy, every man and woman has the right even to be wrong. And that person becomes a subject for conversion rather than castigation. Religion can never be established for anyone by anyone. Neither can it be established by the government. But the government must never forget that the genius of the nation has always been a strong faith in God, nurtured by its churches. And this is what has given America the true concept of liberty and freedom that we enjoy. Because it is not a liberty simply of action, it is a liberty of conscience. Indeed, our churches can never be thwarted from leading persons to that complete freedom in God. And out of this religious conviction, which has been a part of this land since its beginning, has come our intellectual liberty as well. This is a pearl of great price that we have cherished as Americans. We only need to remind ourselves that there are those in certain areas of the world who do not have the freedom to speak their mind or even to use their mind as they desire to do so. This area of liberty eventuates in the right of free speech and in the right of a free, untrammeled press. And this we continue to try to preserve in this great land. The right for a person to say what he or she thinks is a right that we cannot take from any person without destroying the very nature of freedom itself. And it simply cannot happen in high places or above. This liberty needs to be carefully examined, because it is not a license. It is not the opportunity to destroy the very ramparts of freedom. And those who use this liberty to divide a house against itself may need to have their motives properly questioned, lest the error of that person become sinking sand for all other persons. We are a nation that prizes itself on religious and intellectual liberty, and we must have the opportunity to make pronouncements, to make protests, and also to make judgments in the light of that which is best for us all. A third bulwark that we need to examine is not only our religious and intellectual freedom, not only the equality of every citizen, but there is a bulwark which stands above all of the clouds of mediocrity in America, which says that every person has the God-given right to use their talents and their abilities. It is keynoted by that phrase that we have let roll off our tongues: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This pledge of our founding fathers was based upon the sound virtues of integrity and honest endeavor by all. It should never be frustrated by preventing a person from being worthy of his hire or being rewarded for his honest endeavors. There should never be a discrepancy between the promise that this land makes to persons and the achievement of goals. And our industrial relationships and our economic system must always take great pains to protect the opportunity for all employers and employees to have these rights protected. Moral virtues, of course, are the greatest security of our land. But it is not moral for us as free people to take the dignity and the integrity away from another person by denying that person to openly and honestly fulfill his or her God-given talents and abilities in a free society. Beyond this, those who are a part of that society must always be on guard lest those who have not had that opportunity fulfilled feel that they have been subjugated by their own state of poverty. Or to put it another way, where human beings are hungry and thirsty because they have not been able to work, a land of freedom demands that it is the moral opportunity and responsibility of all others to see that their humanitarian interests are protected. This cannot be done with condescending paternalism. It can only be done out of a great sense of the love of one another. The genius of a free society is that we all understand the plight of one another. And where one hurts, all must step in to bring concern and care. We must be our brother's brother, not simply our brother's keeper, if we are to indeed be a society that should continue to breathe. Finally, let me comment that because every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father, we must constantly protect this fourth bulwark, which recognizes the primacy of God's moral law. We are not a nation that has been cut off from its foundation. Our founding fathers, several of whom were deists, may not have followed God in exactly the same way that you or I would follow him, and yet they recognized that the very heartbeat of the nation depended upon its creation by a benevolent God. The basis for all liberty is to be found in God. It is the truth about God and the creation of each of his children as his people that makes us truly free. I suppose we have never fully recognized that fact, but it is a truism that moral decadence from within can destroy a nation more than its enemies from without. And the basis of our moral system in this great nation has been that we are one nation under God. And under the fatherhood of God, we must live as a faithful family, confessing, as in any true home, that there are forces which unite us, and there are differences of expression which sometimes divide us. But the light of our concern for one another must always be so great that those that divide us will never destroy the unity which holds us together. We are a free people under God, living as a human family, not for our own glory, but for the glory of the God who created us, who sustains us, and by whose power we daily live. And when America forgets this fact, America weakens our liberty. It is most certainly true that the ethnic differences that exist among us can never destroy our high ethical concepts. It is still our Father's world, and we are our Father's nation. And as Christ is His way, His truth, and His life, so the way of Christ leads us through the deepening of our understanding as we come to understand what it means to love one another. We build America on this basis, or we destroy America on the denial of this basic fact. Because the morality of God is that we love God and we love one another. And when we allow these to be destroyed, we begin to destroy the very democracy, and the very freedom which are so precious to us all. We need to understand fully that God has given us freedom. The freedom of being equal, the freedom of religious liberty and intellectual liberty, the freedom of pursuing the God-given talents that He's allowed each of us to have, but the freedom of all of us to live under God's sovereign law of all. These are the goals of our freedom. And indeed, we shall become America the Beautiful when we allow these goals to be our national home. To that end, may we rededicate ourselves to the faith that we hold and to the freedom that we so reverently enjoy. Merciful Father, we do not know why You have chosen us by Your grace to live in this glorious land. We only know that You are proud, yet humble by the fact that You have given us such glorious opportunity and such bright responsibility. Give us the courage live our faith, and help us to stand fast in the liberty wherewith we have been set free, so that we may never fall into the yoke of slavery. And we look to Christ our Lord. We pray